we share together our confession of faith each week, we confess what it is we as Christians believe. And we say that we believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. What's this time of year that this really comes to light and what that means to us scripturally? And today in the book of Luke, we see a little bit different viewpoint from Luke's gospel on this great thing of our Savior being born of the Virgin Mary. If we remember last week, we talked about from Matthew how the angel came to Joseph and how the angel said that there was, not to divorce Mary. Joseph had in his mind to divorce Mary because she was going to be found with child and they had not yet been together, and that this would have been a disgrace to Mary and a disgrace to Joseph. In Matthew's gospel, we remember Matthew was a Jew, and he was giving us a Jewish viewpoint of how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. And in Matthew's gospel about Jesus' birth and all that was going to happen and how Joseph was told not to be afraid and how Jesus was going to be born and how they were to give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew gives us the understanding of the birth of the Lord and Savior genealogically. As we look at the genealogy of Jesus in the first chapter of Matthew, saying that Jesus, the coming King, the promised King that was coming, this is how it was going to happen. He gives us a viewpoint of Jesus' birth genealogically. But when we look to Luke's gospel today, we see that Luke now gives us his viewpoint physically. And dare I say, gynecologically. We listen to Matthew's gospel. Matthew says, here's how it was going to come about. But someone might say, well, I'm not a Jew, and I don't believe in the Jewish prophecies and the Jewish scriptures. I don't believe this can actually happen. This is impossible that a virgin is going to be with child and have a baby. It's impossible. No, I want other proof. In fact, I'm going to talk to somebody who's in the know. I want to talk to somebody who I can trust. I want to talk to a doctor. Enter in Luke, a Gentile doctor. Not Jewish, although he probably knew some of the Jewish ways. He was very educated and he was a doctor. And in his gospel, he states his purpose from the very beginning, that just as others have drawn up an account of the things that had been fulfilled among them, he carefully investigated everything from the beginning, and it seemed good to him to write this orderly account for Theophilus and for those who would read it, in fact, us today. An orderly account of how this Jesus would come into the world. And you know, if a doctor were to write about this Jesus, a doctor would see it in a different way. A doctor would see that this divine Son of God was human in the flesh. Luke writes his gospel from a viewpoint of Jesus, the Son of Man, that Jesus was human, born of a human woman, the same way that you and I were born. First, he foretells, or he writes about John the Baptist coming, and how it was announced to Zechariah and Elizabeth that they were going to have a son. Remember, Elizabeth was old, Zechariah was old, she was barren, the Bible says. But the angel said, you're going to have a son, you're going to name him John, and he's going to go ahead of the Lord to be that messenger, that voice saying, here is the one, here is the Messiah. Secondly, he comes to the birth of Jesus, and how the angel comes to foretell and announce that the Messiah was also going to be born. In the sixth month, God sent this angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, this was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, by the way. When she was 6 months along, she had 3 months to go. Mary had this angel come to her and said, greetings to you, Mary, you who are highly favored by God. And I want you to understand that the Messiah was to come from the line of David. David had ruled 1,000 years before this. There were thousands of people that came from the line of David that were descendants of David. But God chose one, and her name was Mary. And he sent an angel Gabriel to tell her this news. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, and it's the same thing the angel said to Zechariah, do not be afraid. There's no need for anyone to be afraid when God speaks to us. You found favor with God. You will be with child, give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name of Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. In this context, in the Jewish culture, someone who was the son of someone else was someone who was like that person. And the son of a father inherited all of his father's, coming directly from that father. He'll be great, he'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Well, now start to unfold how great this child would be, the Son of God. He will have the throne of his father David. God was going to give him that throne. He was not going to earn it. God was going to give it to him. And he would reign over the house of Jacob, his people forever, and his kingdom will never end. What an awesome announcement was being made to Mary. Now you have to understand, these people are pre-Christ, pre-resurrection. They had no knowledge of Jesus Christ other than the ancient prophecies that foretold God would send a Messiah. In fact, as he told through the prophet Isaiah, this will be the sign, the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. You know something? This is the first time that we read, that we know of, that we have historical proof that a baby was born to a virgin. And God promised it. And God accomplished it. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? I want you to understand, three times in these verses, we understand Luke makes one thing perfectly clear. Dr. Luke makes it clear that this woman was a virgin. That makes sense, doesn't it? That a doctor would be so focused on that. Secondly, we have to make clear that many times, in fact, 9 times, we see the word will in here. This was God's will. You will be with child. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. That was God's will. And Mary said, how will this be? How will your will, God, be carried out? Now, I don't like the translations personally that where Mary that translates Mary saying, how can this be? Like Mary was doubting God, because Mary wasn't doubting God. She understood perfectly that it was God's will when she said, how will this be? She knew it was a done deal, that God was going to accomplish his will, but she didn't know how. How will this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, one who is like God. And Matthew tells us that he actually would be Emmanuel, God with us. Not only would he be like God, he would be God, and as Luke says, in the flesh, born of a virgin. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her 6th month. So the angel is saying to Mary, this is what's going to happen through you. And if that seems crazy, even your cousin, Elizabeth, who was said to be barren, who's up in years, is going to have a baby. She's in her 6th month, in fact. Because nothing is impossible with God. That word impossible, translated from Luke's writings in Greek, means unable. And it tells us that God is not unable to do what he wants to do, what his will is. Nothing is impossible. possible. God is able to do. In fact, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, He is the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ever ask or imagine. And He was going to accomplish this. Matthew writes, genealogically speaking, concerning the coming king. Luke writes, physically speaking, concerning the Son of Man. That this God with us, this one who was like God, this one who was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, was human, came through the birth canal of a virgin, miraculously, divinely, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a Virgin Mary. And the key verse here, and all this is, for nothing is impossible with God. You say that's impossible? It's impossible for this to happen. Luke says, no, it's not. No, it's not. In fact, Luke says, here's what happened. The angel came and told Mary this was what was going to happen. Mary says, how will this happen? Because I'm a virgin. How's God going to accomplish this? The angel didn't explain it to her other than that the Holy Spirit would come upon you and overshadow you. It was a miraculous divine intervention in the life of Mary. When God came and overshadowed her life and entered into her life, and the angel reminded her, nothing is impossible with God. You know, we live in an age today where there's so much criticism, biblical criticism, about this virgin birth, and people claim to be Christians and they go so far, but I don't know about this virgin birth. That's really not physiologically possible. No kidding, it's not. Is it? It's impossible for a virgin to have a child. It's impossible for a field to bear grain or fruit until the seed's sown first. Possible. But with God, all things are possible. And though we have to be a little careful here not to overlook what's really being said, that we believe in God's only begotten Son, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. This is a fundamental doctrine of Christianity from the very beginning, and I hope still in your hearts today, that God did this miraculous thing. We say, well, why? Why did God do this? That's another sermon for another Sunday, maybe a whole sermon series, but I do want to touch on this. In order for there to be a sacrifice for sin, there needed to be a lamb without blemish, right? When God sent Jesus, He sent Jesus for two reasons: to redeem us and to adopt us. We can't be adopted as God's children until we're redeemed first. God doesn't adopt unredeemed people and unregenerate people. And in order for us to be redeemed and cleansed and forgiven of our sins, there has to be a perfect sacrifice. And in Jesus coming to die for the sins of the whole world, He had to be perfect. But there was a problem there, because from Adam, from the very beginning, through the seed of the man, sin was passed down through the birth, year after year, after generation after generation after generation. Everyone is born in sin because we are descendants of Adam and Eve. So how would a human being be perfect like God and divine like God? And the only way that was possible was through the seed of the Holy Spirit entering into the woman to impregnate her with the presence and power and purity of the divine and holy God, who is not dead nor does not sleep. In order for Jesus to be that perfect sacrifice without blemish, He could not have an earthly father. The seed had to come from God, and it came through the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary's life and her body. Two things are clear here. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of a virgin. Dr. Luke states this clearly. She was a virgin. Mary says, how will this happen? I am a virgin. The angel said, this will happen. this will happen because this is God's will, that God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. In finishing, we always look for the application in our Scriptures. What does this mean to me today? How do I apply this to my life? And as I thought about this, I like to come up with a lot of good examples, stories, little things that we can cling to and remember. But how can we come up with something to cling to compared with this great story, the miracle that the Holy Spirit came into this life of this virgin and put the seed of Almighty God in her? And the application for us is to believe because God's Word says so. That's what Mary did. She believed because it was God's Word through God's messenger that this would happen. She said, how will it happen? I know it's God's will. I know it will happen. How will it happen? And sometimes in our lives, you know, we tend to say, why God? Why God? And you know, God doesn't owe us the answers. And I want to encourage you to say, I don't know why God. I know you know why God. How will you do this? Knowing full well, with God, nothing is impossible, genealogically or physically. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. The only way possible that we can be redeemed and adopted as God's children. And God made it possible supernaturally, genealogically, and physiologically. Let's pray. O Lord our God, when we consider this miraculous thing that has happened, this supernatural thing that happened to this young girl who was a virgin, Lord, how can we ever doubt You in times of our own trials and troubles? You are truly a God who is able and willing to do anything that we ask or imagine. Lord, help us to trust and have faith in You. Help us to rejoice that You are that kind of God this Christmas season. Help us to remember who truly Jesus was, that He was conceived by You and Your Holy Spirit, that He was born of a Virgin Mary, which made Him our perfect sacrifice. And He still is today for those who believe because Your Word says so. In Christ's name, amen. Let's close this morning with a great hymn, 240.